we talk specifically about what they look like academically, these children?
Sure. I think before I go on to the academics, I just want to say that one of the things that I think is very stressful for teachers, and it is hard to believe, even myself, I sometimes find myself thinking that's when a kid is really difficult. The way the memories of an adverse early childhood are encoded in the brain is in the right hemisphere, mm-hmm. and it's nonverbal. So children can't really tell you why they're behaving the way they are because they don't know. They don't have a script that explains the feeling they're having,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't go away. So, you know, you've got a well-motivated teacher who's doing everything he or she learned to do to build up trust in children, and it never seems to work. They always go back. The child always goes back to the same conflict, and that's because that conflict is being motivated or fueled by unconscious memories that neither he or the teacher can understand. And so you have to always keep going back to start with these kids. You never reach a steady ground where, okay, they know I like them, they know they can be trusted. It's always beginning over again, which makes it very hard to be with them. Now, cognitively, there's all sorts of issues that come up for these children. They're often labeled learning disabled, and it's because their arousal system fuels an attention system that is very deficient.
Mm-hmm.
They're always attending to the external environment for whether or not what's threatening in it or what's going to hurt them. So attending to a task that appears to be unrelated or appears to be pretty devoid of meaning in their own personal lives is going to be very hard. So they sometimes look like they have ADHD because they
mm-hmm.
split from one thing to another. Their memory can be impaired because of the high anxiety that they have. And another thing that often is a problem for these children is they're pretty deficient in language. Very often
right.
will be coded for special education services for language. They don't have a real good vocabulary development. They don't have a lot of automaticity to the vocabulary that they use. And they don't necessarily think in words. They think sensorily. In other words, they think with their body. And what's
right.
going on around them rather than being able to kind of sit and plan ahead. So they tend to be very impulsive.
So that sort of leads back to that to what you were saying earlier. It's hard for the teacher to understand that the child doesn't understand why they're that the child can never answer the question about why they're doing the things that they're doing. And it's all that language-based deficiency.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I think it's frustrating to the child as well as it is to the teacher because you think, well, there must be some motivation for this behavior, and there is, in fact, a motivation, but it's hidden in that right hemisphere, and it's essentially nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing about these children, which is really interesting when you watch them over time, they lack a lot of core concepts that children need to build academic skill on. Like, they lack a clear sense of cause and effect because they're children who don't think they can do anything right.
Mm-hmm.
Their early experiences have taught them that they're bad and that they can't really do much. So that's actually how most children learn cause and effect. They learn that they are the cause of something happening in their environment, and they build on that. These kids don't have that. They typically come from environments that are very unpredictable, so prediction mm-hmm. and estimation is very hard for them.
Right. Right, or a neglectful environment where no matter what they did, it didn't make an impact. And so,
that's exactly
so
right. So why bother?
Right.
They're very prone to shame, so they're not going to put themselves out on a limb to take a risk and be wrong. So that's what you see in the child that appears to be really unmotivated or refuses to try. When a teacher kind of urges them on to something, they just give up or tear the paper up or knock the chair over because they are very ashamed of who they are and they don't want to be seen as stupid. They also have a very difficult time with sequence, which is just, when you think about it, a school is very sequential. Everything
mm-hmm.
in the day builds on a sequence, and these kids have no sequence. They just don't have the ability to say, oh, this is step A, B, and C, and then continually use those steps to solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of start in the middle of things. So taken together, you can kind of appreciate that they're lacking a lot of the core skills needed for academic success.
Exactly. But sometimes, and it just depends on the student, sometimes their emotional behavioral state seems to overshadow all of that and make it hard to see those academic struggles as well. True?
It's true, because you're so distracted by the behavior. I mean, I think it's probably the experience of most teachers who teach in elementary school that they've had at least one child a year who thinks nothing of having a temper tantrum where they wind up on the floor crying and screaming. I mean, in grade second, third, sometimes even fourth grade, behavior that you normally would have expected to see maybe if you taught preschool on a two-year-old. But I've been in a lot of elementary school a lot, and it's not at all unusual to have a few kids start continuing to have temper tantrums like that well into ages 8, 9, 10. When they get to be adolescents, of course, they then wind up in the purview of the courts because their aggression becomes more peer-directed.